The Science Show on RN, and President Trump, as you probably know, having listened to this program, President Trump has no chief scientist. Does this matter? At AAAS, I was lucky enough to catch President Obama's former chief scientific advisor, Professor John Holdren of Harvard, before he rushed off to his plane.
I'm John Holdren. I was President Obama's science advisor for 8 years. Now I am professor of environmental science and policy at Harvard University, both in the Kennedy School of Government and in the Department of Earth and Planetary Sciences.
And we're in a great big room full of scientists and reporters, but you were last broadcast on The Science Show just before the March for Science, April the 22nd, when you gave advice to scientists about what to do and how to do it. And above all, it was to share with the public what science is for. What happened next? What happened after the march? Was it successful?
I think the march was successful. There were tremendous turnouts in cities all across the United States. I marched in Boston. People marched in Los Angeles and Chicago and Washington, D.C. I think scientists participated in very large numbers, in part because they got past the notion that marching was going to politicize science. And I think that's in part because people came to understand that science is already politicized in the sense that decisions about what science to use in policy making and decisions about how much money to spend on science and how to allocate it are all made in the United States in a political process where many different voices are heard, voices from industry, voices from civil society organizations, voices from within government itself. And if scientists were to, in a sense, disenfranchise themselves from this process, then the group most knowledgeable about the stakes would be absenting themselves and their voices from the discussion. The people who, in some sense, have the most to contribute would be absent. That would be a shame. Scientists certainly have at least as much right and responsibility to take part in these debates as anybody else. And I think that message got across. There were, of course, accusations that it was politicizing science, but I think they were feeble and not very much heeded. And scientists have ever since been continuously becoming more active politically. There are now many, many thousands of scientists and engineers running for office for the first time in the United States in the 2018 elections. They're running for Congress, they're running for state offices, state legislatures, they're running for city and regional offices in unprecedented numbers. And scientists, I think, have very clearly come to understand that we're only going to get back to a more fact-based, evidence-based decision-making if scientists participate very energetically.
Well, even though it's well over a year since President Trump has been in office, he has not replaced you as chief scientist. Is this a problem?
It is a problem. He's not only not replaced me as director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, he has not replaced any of the four authorized Senate-confirmed associate directors in the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, so there are no top leaders there at all. He has not replaced many of the undersecretaries and assistant secretaries across the cabinet departments and agencies with science and technology responsibilities. So there's really a very big vacuum in the executive branch of science and technology expertise.
It hasn't made any difference.
Yes, it has made a difference. The first difference you saw was in the first round of budgets that the Trump administration proposed. Historically, the science and technology budgets have been worked out on the executive branch side, the president's budget proposals, as a joint effort of the Office of Management and Budget and the Office of Science and Technology Policy. And in the end, the director of the Office of Management and Budget and the director of OSTP meet with the president and finalize that budget. This time, OSTP wasn't there. And you see it in a budget that made preposterous proposals for reducing support for basic research, for biomedical research, for clean energy research, for environmental research. Now, most recently, some of that has been walked back. The most recent budget proposal by the president for fiscal year 2019 has walked back from cuts to the National Institutes of Health, the National Science Foundation, and the Department of Energy Office of Science. But it continues to advocate draconian cuts for science and technology at NOAA, at EPA, at the Department of Energy Clean Energy Research. And again, I think that is in part the result of no scientists and technologists in place in the key positions.
The former top scientific advisor in the White House, Professor John Holdren, now back at Harvard, on why Trump should stop ignoring the importance of science in America.